children born today will grow up in a world without DOMA. If I had to survive Thea, what a glorious way to do it.
The day I finally get to look at the man that I love and finally say, will you please marry me?
What do we want?
Equality!
When do we want it?
Now!
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Time Australian politics revive wedding wishes, a homophobic Macedonian mob attacks pride, and U.S. Supreme Courtship brings happiness equally after to many. Those stories and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Gary Shaw.
And I'm Natalie Peebles.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian gay community for the week ending June 29th, 2013. Gay and lesbian couples in California were double winners on June 26th when the U.S. Supreme Court released its rulings on two marriage equality cases. The High Court justices decided that the backers of the state's Proposition 8 didn't have legal standing to defend the marriage equality banning initiative. Justices let the lower court ruling stand that declared the discriminatory measure to be unconstitutional. Same-gender couples in the Golden State will also join legally married couples in 12 other U.S. states and the District of Columbia to have their marriages recognized by the federal government after the Supreme Court struck down the 1996 law that prevented that, the Defense of Marriage Act, or DOMA, as an equal protection violation of the U.S. Constitution.
The federal appeals court that upheld the lower court's determination that Proposition 8 was unconstitutional had issued a stay of their ruling pending the Supreme Court's decision. Initial reports suggested a wait of up to a month for the appropriate paperwork to be handled before California couples could again get married. They had a small window of opportunity to do that in 2008 after the state Supreme Court opened civil marriage to same-gender couples, and the passage of Proposition 8 in November of that year took that right away. But on June 28th, 2 days after this week's U.S. Supreme Court ruling, the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals unexpectedly lifted its stay, allowing same-gender couples to again get married in California. The first couples to do so were the Prop 8 lawsuit plaintiffs. Chris Perry and Sandy Steyer were married at San Francisco City Hall by State Attorney General Kamala Harris, with their son Elliot Perry serving as a witness. Plaintiffs, Paul Katami and Jeff Zerillo, were married a few hours later at City Hall in Los Angeles by outgoing Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa.
The U.S. Supreme Court's second marriage equality ruling declared that a key provision of DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, was unconstitutional because it barred the federal government from recognizing the marriages of lesbian and gay couples in states where they're legal. Justice Anthony Kennedy, writing for the 5-4 majority, wrote that, "No legitimate purpose overcomes the purpose and effects to disparage and to injure those whom the state, by its marriage laws, sought to protect in personhood and dignity. The High Court ruling allows access to more than 1,000 federal benefits of marriage to legally wed same-gender couples. The plaintiff in that case, now 84-year-old widow Edith Windsor, was forced to pay more than $350,000 in estate taxes after the death of her longtime spouse, Thea Speier. The couple's legal marriage in Canada was subsequently recognized by their home state of New York, but DOMA forced the federal government to treat the two women as strangers. Celebrations by gays and lesbians and their supporters of the two high court marriage decisions were tempered, however, by disappointment over another Supreme Court decision earlier in the week that struck down an important part of the Voting Rights Act, which had prevented states from enacting laws to make it difficult for racial minorities to participate in the electoral process. We'll have a lot more about this week's historic marriage equality decisions by the U.S. Supreme Court later in the program.
There were also major developments involving marriage equality elsewhere. Kevin Rudd became Australia's new prime minister after outpolling sitting PM Julia Gillard, who unseated him in 2010 in a snap election at the Labour Party caucus this week. The vote was 57 for Rudd and 45 for Gillard following what were reportedly acrimonious deliberations. Gillard personally opposes civil marriage equality for lesbian and gay couples, but allowed her party MPs' conscience votes when such legislation came before them. Rudd, a devout Christian, made news a few weeks ago by announcing a change of heart from his previous opposition to same-gender marriage, influenced, he said, by conversations with a gay former staff member who came out to him, to his support for it. Legislative efforts to open civil marriage to Australia's gay and lesbian couples have failed, however, and will continue to be stymied as long as opposition leader and staunch Roman Catholic Tony Abbott refuses to allow his MPs a conscience vote. In one of his first actions as Prime Minister, Rudd acknowledged the political roadblock by suggesting a public referendum on the issue. Virtually every national poll in Australia finds strong majority support for civil marriage equality. Some concerned LGBT activists argued, however, that there should never be a public vote on human rights.
Australian lawmakers did approve a bill this week to add LGBT and intersex people to the country's Sex Discrimination Act. The act already bans bias based on race, gender, and disability. Religious organizations and the businesses they own, however, would generally be exempt from the new provisions. Equality activists applauded the move but said that the religious exemptions in the measure need to be revisited. They note in particular that elder care services in Australia are often run by religious organizations. Out LGBT seniors could be forced back into the closet to receive care if discriminatory providers are the only ones available to them.
Russia's Federation Council, the nation's upper legislative chamber, has, to no one's surprise, approved the so-called No Promo Homo law that already passed unanimously in the lower house or state Duma. The council vote was also unanimous, with one abstention. The measure, outlawing what it describes as propaganda of non-traditional sexual relations, defines public expression of support for LGBT rights as an effort to corrupt minors. It threatens any media outlet or organization that violates the law with fines of up to 500,000 rubles and closure for 90 days. Individuals could be fined up to 50,000 rubles, and foreigners could be fined the same amount, or held in jail for 15 days before being deported. A bill banning the adoption of Russian orphans by foreign same-gender couples that had received earlier Duma support was also approved, and the council okayed an anti-blasphemy bill that punishes people who offend religious believers with up to 3 years in prison. President Vladimir Putin is expected to sign all three bills into law. Speaking specifically about the anti-propaganda law earlier this week, Putin claimed that it's not about imposing some sort of sanctions on homosexuality. It's about protecting children from such information. About 40 LGBT activists tried to hold a rally against the law in St. Petersburg on June 29th, but were outnumbered by some 200 Russian nationalists chanting anti-gay slogans and throwing eggs and rocks at them. Police reported dozens of arrests, including 8 nationalists.
Elsewhere, a Macedonian mob hurled bricks and stones in a violent assault on June 22nd on the building that houses the LGBT Center in the capital city of Skopje. About 40 members of LGBT United Macedonia were inside on the second floor watching a film to open the Southeastern European nation's annual Pride celebrations. One policeman was injured in the melee outside that involved about 30 young people, according to local reports. The center's main entrance sustained significant damage, but aside from the hospitalized policeman, no one else was hurt. A message was posted soon thereafter on LGBT United Macedonia's Facebook page, warning the group to wait for a bomb in the next days. There were reports of isolated attacks on perceived to be LGBT individuals in other parts of the country. Later in the week, several extremists surrounded the home of a well-known openly gay Macedonian TV star. He cares for his elderly ailing mother there. They shouted anti-gay obscenities and threw objects at the house. Police were called to the scene and are supposedly looking for the offenders. A pride parade scheduled for June 30th had already been canceled because Macedonia's Interior Ministry said it could not guarantee marchers' security. Previous parades were violently attacked by homophobic right-wing fanatics. Members of the European Parliament and prominent human rights advocates warned that Macedonia's government must condemn and curb anti-LGBT violence if the country wants to join the European Union.
An estimated 4,000 LGBT people, along with supportive psychologists and healthcare professionals, hit the streets of Sao Paulo, arguably Brazil's gayest city, to protest and mock a gay cure bill that passed in Congress's Human Rights Committee, which is chaired by evangelical pastor Marco Feliciano. The proposal would restore homosexuality to the list of treatable disorders in the nation's mental health guidelines. Most observers think it has little chance of passage, however. Among the colorful protesters in the June 21st march was a bare-chested male couple holding up a sign saying, "Feliciano, you don't know what you're missing."
And finally, the Cosmopolitan New Yorker magazine is celebrating the demise of DOMA and Prop 8 on the cover of its next issue, which will hit the newsstands in the coming week. Titled Bert and Ernie's Moment of Joy, it depicts the beloved Sesame Street pair snuggling together on the couch as an image of U.S. Supreme Court justices appears on a TV screen in front of them. A Sesame Street workshop statement responding to a petition in 2011 calling for the two to get married explained that Bert and Ernie are best friends, and even though the Sesame Street Muppets possess many human traits and characteristics, they have no sexual orientation. Cover artist Jack Hunter, who originally submitted the image to a Tumblr blog, said, "It's amazing to witness how attitudes on gay rights have evolved in my lifetime. This is great for our kids," he added, "and a moment we can all celebrate."
That's News Wrap for the week ending June 29th, 2013. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Greg Gordon, recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles, and produced by Steve Pride.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. I'm Gary Shaw.
And I'm Natalie Peoples.
America's lesbian and gay couples have gone from being criminals to brides and grooms in the span of a single decade. The U.S. Supreme Court's rulings on June 26, striking down a key provision of the Defense of Marriage Act, or DOMA, and California's equality banning Proposition 8, came on the 10th anniversary to the day of the High Court Lawrence v. Texas ruling that overturned all remaining state statutes outlawing private consensual adult same-gender sex. We begin our coverage of this week's historic high court actions with a Free Speech Radio news report by Alice Olstein in Washington, D.C.
Hundreds of demonstrators, most of them supporters of marriage equality, gathered outside the U.S. Supreme Court as the justices handed down two major rulings that expand LGBT rights in California and around the country. Screaming, singing, crying, and waving rainbow flags, the crowd celebrated decisions effectively striking down both California's Proposition 8 and the Defense of Marriage Act, or DOMA. The narrow 5-4 ruling held that the 1996 law banning federal recognition of state-sanctioned same-sex marriages is unconstitutional, saying DOMA's purpose was to disparage and injure by treating those persons as living in marriages less respected than others. The majority opinion stated that DOMA was, quote, a deprivation of individual liberty of persons that is protected by the Fifth Amendment. Attorney Anthony Romero with the American Civil Liberties Union helped represent 83-year-old widow Edie Windsor in this case.
The equal protection standard that now the Supreme Court held this morning gives us an opportunity for fighting against laws that discriminate against LGBT individuals in housing, in employment, in public accommodations. It also gives us a chance to undo those 30 state-level DOMAs that define marriage as only between a man and a woman. That's fundamentally un-American.
But the court's decision still leaves part of the federal-level DOMA in place, something New York Democrat Gerald Nadler and other lawmakers promised they would address.
Later today, Senator Feinstein and I, with many co-sponsors, will be reintroducing the Respect for Marriage Act. This bill repeals DOMA in its entirety. The court has now struck Section 3 of DOMA, but Section 2 was not before the court. Section 2 seeks to excuse states from even considering whether to respect the lawful marriage of a gay and lesbian couple performed by a sister state, we still need to repeal Section 2.
Four justices dissented on the DOMA decision, calling the ruling jaw-dropping and an assertion of judicial supremacy. Though Justice Antonin Scalia ruled earlier this week to strike down a key section of the Voting Rights Act, which was passed and renewed by popularly elected officials, he chastised the court today for not, quote, letting the people decide on DOMA. The court also ruled 5-4 on California's Proposition 8, but they didn't say whether that law is constitutional. Instead, they tossed out the case, saying the supporters of that ballot initiative didn't have the right to speak for the state of California before the high court. This outcome allows the lower court's holding to stand, that the law discriminates and is therefore unconstitutional. One of the lead plaintiffs in the case was Paul Katami, who was denied a marriage license in California. Holding hands with his longtime partner, Jeff Cirillo, Katami talked about what the ruling meant for him personally.
Today is a good day. It's the day I finally get to look at the man that I love and finally say, will you please marry me?
Katami, along with all of the plaintiffs and their attorneys, and many of the demonstrators outside the court, said they will continue to file lawsuits and take to the streets until same-sex couples are granted full marriage rights in every state.
Now! What do we want?
Equality!
When do we want?
Now!
Alice Olstein, Free Speech Radio News, Washington.
84-year-old New York widow Edith Windsor, whose case challenged a key provision of DOMA, reflected on her victory and remembered her late partner, Thea Spire.
I'm honored and humbled and overjoyed to be here today to represent not only the thousands of Americans whose lives have been adversely impacted by the Defense of Marriage Act, but those whose hopes and dreams have been constricted by the same discriminatory law. Children born today will grow up in a world without DOMA. And those same children who happen to be gay will be free to love and get married, as Thea and I did, but with the same federal benefits, protections, and dignity as everyone else. If I had to survive Thea, what a glorious way to do it. And she would be so pleased.
The Supreme Court also decided that the backers of California's Proposition 8 did not have legal standing to appeal the original federal district court ruling that declared Prop 8 unconstitutional. So that ruling by U.S. District Court Judge Vaughn Walker, who confirmed rumors that he's gay soon after he retired, became the final word on the issue. Victorious Prop 8 attorney Ted Olson, who, with David Boyce, led the legal challenge against the measure, acknowledged Walker's original ruling when he spoke at a celebratory rally in West Hollywood on the day of the Supreme Court's decision.
Every person in America should read that opinion, and many, many people in America will read that opinion. He examined all of the arguments that the proponents of Proposition 8, our opponents, could bring to court. They kept changing their mind as to what their theory was. But what it boiled down to is none of it made any sense. Protect our children was the worst thing of all, because it said these people are bad. They don't belong in our society. They aren't equal as our citizens. Then he struck that down. He systematically destroyed and dismantled the arguments, every argument that was made on the other side. And then he examined the rights of the individuals that we're representing, and many of you out there are representative of, and he determined that the justification did not exist, and the fundamental right to marry and the fundamental right to be treated equally in America was not something that could tolerate a Proposition 8 in our country, especially in California. The people of America will all come to the position that we are at today, here in this space. The people in America will do that. If they watch this trial, they learn about this trial, they will read that opinion, they will watch this rally today, and they will look out at the loving people that are standing before me and that are represent every walk of life of every part of America and say, these are Americans, these are our citizens, these are our brothers and our sisters. We will be a better country when we are equal.
Pacifica Radio News reporter Christopher Martinez covered the festivities in San Francisco.
My name is Kate Kendall with the National Center for Lesbian Rights, and oh, fuck you, Prop 8. And it is going to be one amazing effing Pride weekend.
The Supreme Court's 5-4 ruling to strike down the Prop 8 ban on gay marriages was met with jubilance at San Francisco City Hall, the place where this round of the long struggle began 9 years ago. It's a struggle that has spanned 6 different court cases and more than 50 judges in state courts, federal trial and appeals courts, and finally the U.S. Supreme Court. San Francisco City Attorney Dennis Herrera and his legal staff have been part of that struggle from the beginning. Herrera spoke on the steps of City Hall minutes after the Supreme Court announced its decision.
I am grateful for a decision that finally ends marriage discrimination against gay and lesbian couples and that strikes down a law that has no place in 21st century California.
The Supreme Court's ruling was in some ways a middle path, not declaring a constitutional right for same-sex couples to marry, but also not upholding a ban on gay marriage. Instead, the court ruled on the narrow grounds that the Proposition 8 proponents had no standing to defend the Prop 8 marriage ban in court. California's governor and attorney general had both refused to defend Prop 8, since they both agreed with the federal trial court's ruling that banning marriage for same-sex couples is unconstitutional discrimination. State Attorney General Kamala Harris has written a letter to the governor urging quick action to begin marriages for lesbian and gay couples. Proposition 8 supporters had said the high court's ruling could be limited to the two couples who filed the suit instead of applying to all California. City Attorney Herrera disagrees.
But given the arguments that Proposition 8's proponents have consistently advanced, my office is prepared to litigate immediately against any effort to limit or delay the restoration of marriage equality for all Californians.
Herrera says same-sex marriages in California could resume in about a month. Democrat John Pettis is the Speaker of the California State Assembly, the first openly gay man to hold that post. He says he's confident counties will ramp up quickly to begin performing marriages for same-sex couples as soon as possible. But he recognizes that a victory on same-sex marriage still leaves other work yet to be done in the arena of lesbian and gay rights. Pettis spoke at a news conference at the state capitol shortly after the ruling.
In my opinion, there is none more important than passing a federal Employment Non-Discrimination Act. In a majority of states in this country, somebody can still be fired just because they're gay or lesbian or bisexual.
And then, even in the area of marriage rights, there are still dozens of states where same-sex marriage remains illegal, even after the Supreme Court ruling. Kate Kendall is director of the National Center for Lesbian Rights. She spoke to gay marriage supporters in San Francisco.
For them, their day-to-day life in 37 states is not going to change. So, our commitment has to be, look what we've done here, and we're going to help you do it wherever you live. We're not leaving anyone behind.
Reporting from San Francisco City Hall, I'm Christopher Martinez.
The Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals that upheld Judge Vaughn Walker's ruling also stayed its decision pending the Supreme Court verdict. Wedding bells for lesbian and gay couples in California were not expected to begin ringing for about a month after the June 26 High Court action, however, pending filings of the appropriate legal paperwork. But California Attorney General Kamala Harris urged the appeals court to lift its stay immediately, and to almost everyone's surprise, it did. On June 28th, 2 days after the Supreme Court ruling, Harris married lead Prop 8 lesbian plaintiff couple Chris Perry and Sandy Steyer at San Francisco City Hall.
Do you, Chris, take Sandy to be your lawfully wedded wife, to love and cherish from this day forward?
I do.
And do you, Sandy, take Chris to be your lawfully wedded wife, to love and cherish from this day forward?
I do.
Let the rings exchanged and the vows declared symbolize your commitment, sincerity, and affection, and may your love never falter. By virtue of the power and authority vested in me by the state of California, I now declare you spouses for life.
A few hours later, outgoing Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa married Prop 8 gay plaintiff couple Paul Katami and Jeff Zarillo at Los Angeles City Hall.
Paul, please place this ring on Jeff's left finger and repeat after me. I, Paul, offer this ring as a symbol of my love and devotion.
Offer this ring as a symbol of my love and my devotion.
Let it always be a reminder of my vows to you.
Let it always be a reminder of my vows to you.
Jeff, place this ring on Paul's left finger and repeat after me. I, Jeff, offer this ring as a symbol of my love and devotion.
Offer this ring as a symbol of my love and devotion.
Let it always be a reminder of my vows to you.
Let it always be a reminder of my vows to you.
And so, on behalf of the state of California, let me pronounce you married.
Many speakers at celebrations of the high court rulings reminded LGBT advocates and their supporters that there's a lot more work ahead to bring full equality to every corner of the United States. But for now, and as old Blue Eyes has insisted for decades,
love and marriage, love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. This I tell you, brother, you can't have one.
You can't have none.
You can't have one without the other.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. This week, Gary Shaw and Natalie Peoples contributed program material. Thanks also to Steve Pride, Edward Hammond, Alice Olstein and Free Speech Radio News, and Christopher Martinez and Pacifica Radio News. The Chicago Gay Men's Chorus, circa 1983, and the Eternal Frank Sinatra performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out is funded by the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Yavanna Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, and by our listener supporters. Thank you. Visit us online at thiswayout.org for podcasts, CDs, news wrap archives, and more, including links to our blog and our Facebook page. Follow TWO Radio on Twitter, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. We thank you for listening online at thiswayout.org and on WCRS Columbus, Ohio, KMUN Astoria, Oregon, 2HOT Cobart, New South Wales, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned!